The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
To basketball we go. Our Jay Will had an interesting story about Kevin Durant yesterday. That was on Get Up. It got some traction. If you didn't see it, take a listen.
A couple years ago, we're at a holiday party, and I came on this show, and I did a segment with you, and I said we had Anthony Davis and we had Kevin Durant. Yeah. I said, you know what? Anthony Davis and KD would have a baby. The similarities, physicality-wise, would be like Giannis.
Yeah.
Right? I go to the holiday party. Kevin Durant comes up to me and says, yo, don't you ever, ever compare me to Giannis. Don't you ever compare me to Giannis. I said, KD, what are you talking about? You know, I was just talking about similarities, physicality-wise, size, length. He's like, no, don't you ever compare me to Giannis. So when I see that matchup, you know what that matchup says to me? That's something personal for Kevin Durant. That's who he's attacking each and every day, because that's been in his brain, because people have talked about Giannis being on the same level. That's the kind of intensity you're seeing in this rivalry.
All right, KD tweeted this in response. Mans will do anything to advance their careers in this media expletive, wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of you whenever they please. Keep me out of all that corny expletive talk, who's better and legacy and all that dumb expletive. I don't even talk like that. Jay Will responded this morning to Kevin Durant on KJZ.
Number one, I stand by my story. Number two, I was probably wrong for sharing a personal story, but that's what we do. That's what we do here on our show. And it was meant as a compliment for Kevin Durant to show that there were levels to this and that he was actually right. There are different levels between KD and Giannis. I sat there yesterday. I'm not going to get into this whole spat back and forth on social media, tit for tat. I don't live my life that way. I rise above that. I don't attack people's character. Reached out to his team, talked to Rich Kleiman about it. I got nothing but love for KD. I want them to win a championship. You guys have known I'm from Jersey. I've always been a Nets fan. I love how it translates to Brooklyn. And that's the end of that for me.
All right, Kendrick, I'm going to start with you, but just one question, guys. I thought that Jay Will and KD were boys, so I was just curious. I didn't get to ask Jay Will this, if they fell out before this, or was this just like everything was good and then this response happened? So I'd be curious to know that detail. I don't know if either of you do. I'll start with you. Perk, is this fair or foul?
It's fair, but Molly, Max, whatever happened to whatever happens in the boardroom stays in the boardroom, you know? I'm just asking. Whatever happened to that. But at the end of the day, look, it's fair, okay? KD has the right to speak out, okay? He can say what he wants. He has the right to respond. And look, it's a few issues I have with this problem overall with Jay and KD. The issue that I have with Jay Will is that he was right. He was giving KD props, but the code is that if you're going to share a personal story, okay, from one of your brothers that you talked about behind closed doors, one-on-one, or something that was said in private, you need to call that person and get their consent and make sure that it's okay to share that story before you share. That's the only problem I had with Jay Will. And whether it was a lie or not, I don't know. I'm not here to decide who's telling the truth. I really don't care, okay? But as far as with KD, if you're going to respond, put an address on it. Address who you're talking to. Because if I wasn't a person that didn't know what was going on, I would have thought that he was talking to the media in general, right? And I had another problem with the tweet. When he said the part in the middle where he was like, you know, you're trying to do, I guess, so much to impress, you know, basically an industry that will dispose of you when they're done with you. Well, that's every job in the world, KD. You know, that's every job in the world. That's not just ESPN. Hell, it happens in the NBA. If you're not doing your job, if you're not bringing to the table, if you're not trying to be good, if you're not trying to be great, they'll dispose of you. If you're in Walmart and you're the general manager and you're making sure that people are held accountable and boxes, a cereal box get put on the paper towel aisle, You know what? They'll dispose of you as the general manager because you're not holding people accountable. That's the only problem that I had with Jay Will for us, with him putting it out without asking KD and getting his consent. And that's the only two problems I had with KD. Put an address on it, and then on top of that, disposal, like, that just don't happen in ESPN. That happens all over the United States and every job that you, every person that has a job.
It was foul of KD, period. It was foul of KD. Jay made a mistake. No, to make it foul. Jay made an honest mistake. Let me tell you what I mean. Jay Williams, off camera, we talk, see him a lot at the Seaport. I talk to Jay off camera all the time. Jay Williams stumps for KD behind the scenes. He's always slipping KD into debates about who's the best, where should he be, GOAT, all that kind of stuff. He's always promoting a KD agenda, not because he's trying to trade on some relationship or anything like that. There's nothing in it for him other than he really believes in the dude. He thinks he's the best, it seems to me, and he's always upping KD in private conversations. If you're just kind of talking to Jay Williams, he's upping him. Now, what he said was not done out of malice. It was not done to be opportunistic. He was wrong to share a story, Perk, as you said, without clearing it. But it wasn't done with bad intentions. The remedy for that, if you're KD, is pick up the phone and say, yo, what'd you do that for? And then you have it out behind the scenes, right? And you figure it out. You don't put him on blast. For example, I just shared a story with you about Jay Will that happens behind the scenes. Obviously, I didn't do it with malice. I did it to make Jay Will look good because I believe he deserves to in this situation, at least his intentions. If Jay has a problem with that, yo, Max, that stuff we talk about off camera. Don't share that without talking to me about it. I would expect him to approach me about it, not to put me on blast publicly. Now, KD put it in, you know, he didn't use Jay Will's name. So you're saying, hey, put a name to it. Maybe KD feels like by not using his name, he's kind of not really going all out on Jay. But the point was, sometimes you might divulge something publicly that you shouldn't. I really shouldn't have said that. We're not talking about a retired player. I didn't even consider that he's kind of downing Giannis there. Maybe he doesn't want me to say that out loud. And you work it out behind the scenes. The difference is intention. Jay did not, his intent clearly was not malicious. KD got mad and came at him when that also should have been handled publicly, privately.
Max, this is what you fail to realize, okay? KD came out and he said it was a lie, okay? He didn't want his name attached to it. Because you know what can happen? Is that people around the league, guys around the league, we don't know the relationship of Giannis and KD. We don't know if they're cooling out outside of basketball. And you know what can happen is Giannis can say, oh, I didn't know KD felt this way about me. And you're wrong, Max, because before we come on First Take, before you do the Max Kellerman show, what do you have, right? A production meeting. What do you have? Preparation, right? So you know what you're about to go on television and say. You know the topics that you're about to address. So don't come on here telling me that it's
Rook,
I'm not going to sit up here.
You're good on the radio, right?
Max.
Let me tell you about radio, especially when you're doing a three-hour show. Yes, there's preparation, but you have to leave room to improvise. You're talking. You're in a conversation. You go where the conversation takes you. Something may come to mind that you hadn't prepared. You're sharing a little insight. That stuff, the question is, when you do it, did you do it recklessly? Did you do it maliciously? Did you do it with the intent to lie or harm? Or was it a mistake? Clearly, Jay Will's was a simple mistake that could have been remedied behind the scenes. That was not the route KD chose to take. And he's doing it to a dude
Max,
who only ever ups him.
Max, are you serious right now? He started off by telling, and I love Jay Will. Great friend of mine. So is KD. But did you not hear him start off on the get up with Greeny? And he started off and he said, hey, Greeny, can Uncle Jay tell you a story real quick? So he walked into the studio with this story on his mind. And what I'm trying to tell you, Max, is when you're dealing with this type of, when we're dealing in the media as a former player, right? I'm friends with a lot of guys right now that are still playing the game. I'm friends with a lot of GMs that are still GMing and coaching. And some of the conversations that we have, I would never put out there in the media.
But there's a gray area with some of it, Perk. Some of it, obviously, you wouldn't. And some of it, you can get caught slipping. That's what happened. Jay just got caught slipping. And by the way, let me ask you a question point blank. Do you think he did it with malice or was it an honest mistake? Did Jay do that maliciously or was it an honest mistake?
Max, it wasn't an honest mistake because his story was so laid out. He stopped.
He's saying it's pre. No, he's saying. Hold on. What he's saying is it's premeditated. That's what Perk is saying. It didn't just slip out.
Even if it was,
there's no malice, but he thought about. I'm going into studio. I'm going to tell this story. I have not cleared this with Kevin Durant.
No.
There was a plan behind it.
Even if it was premeditated, I'm still saying it was an honest mistake. Even if, in other words, Jay didn't think. I don't believe. Maybe you do, Perk. That's the answer I want. I have this story about KD. KD's not going to want me to share it. I'm going to share it anyway. I think he just thought, I have a story about KD that's relevant. And then after the fact was like, oh, damn, KD didn't want me to share that once KD made that public. The difference is, I believe one dude made an honest mistake, premeditated or not. The other dude got mad and put him on blast publicly.
Molly, can I ask you a question before we go?
Yeah.
Right? You're married to one of my good friends in Jalen Rose, right?
Yeah.
And he also has a lot of brothers that are still in the NBA that are coaching, that are GMs, right? He knows that certain stories he can't come out and say, or if he do decide to tell a story, don't he pick up the phone and call those people and get those permissions before he go on national television?
So you believe that Jay knew... So you believe Jay knew KD wouldn't want him sharing and he shared anyway.
I'm asking Molly a simple question.
I know as for Jalen, in terms of evaluating guys, he always wants to be fair. So regardless if it's his friend, someone he has a relationship with, if there's criticism regarding his game, he's going to be fair across the board. Everyone's fair game, equal opportunist there. But as far as personal stories, yeah, Jalen wouldn't share without approval, but that's just how he is. He's very tight-lipped and very private with everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, Joe, let's run through some NFC East storylines as the season nears. Dak Prescott enters the season with a hefty new contract, something to prove. McCarthy said he should be a full go by next month. Jalen Hurts will get a chance to earn the starting gig with Philly's new coaching staff. In 4 starts last season, he was last in completion rate and took a league-high 59 hits. The Giants are hoping to snap a 4-year playoff drought, which ties the team's longest since the 1970s. New York is 27th in points scored since drafting Daniel Jones in 2019. Fitzmagic hits D.C. for the 2021 season. Ryan Fitzpatrick shared some fun facts about himself on day one as a member of the Washington football team. And there is that photo. All right, guys. It's feeling like football season is near. Whole lot of traction around the NFL world. We bring back Booger McFarland. Booger, great to have you with us. And I want to start with you. Who is your favorite to win the NFC East this season?
It's got to be the team with the best defense, Molly, and that's the Washington football team. And I know that goes against everything that's gone on this offseason. I love Dak Prescott. He deserved his money. Quite frankly, he deserved more. So congratulations on your contract, Dak. But Dallas may as well be called Alice because they have no D in Big D. And if you're not going to have a defense, if you're not going to be a team that can slow down any of the opposition from an offensive standpoint, then I can't pick you. The New York Giants, I like what they're doing. I love Patrick Graham and his defense. Daniel Jones, the jury's still out. But from a weapon standpoint, you add Kenny Galladay, you get Saquon Barkley back. I love what the offense can be, but I still need your quarterback to be a little better. The bottom line, Molly, and of course the Eagles are the Eagles. We really don't know what you're going to get based on Jalen Hurts and their they really don't think or they're not showing us they want to win. And so when you add all that together, I think I know more about the Washington football team. The best defense in the division. You finally have a veteran quarterback in Fitzmagic who can pull the trigger. You have weapons, Terry McLaurin, to name one from an offensive standpoint. The running back, I love Gibson's. So overall, from a physically tough standpoint with Ron Rivera, I just think the team that I know the most about is the Washington football team. And I'm a defensive guy. And I think if you look at the Super Bowl, we saw that if you have an offensive line and you have a defense, it really doesn't matter from a quarterback standpoint. Just ask Patrick Mahomes. Your defense better be able to line up and play.
Well, Washington clearly has the best defense. And Dallas clearly has the best offense. And the Eagles are in shambles right now. But the Giants are the pick. And I admit to a big blue bias. I'm not running from that. But the Giants are the pick because the Giants don't have as good a defense as Washington, but they got a good defense, better than the other two teams. And they don't have as good an offense as Dallas, but they got a good offense. It should be better than the other two teams. And they got a coach. And they got the return of Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, as a rookie, had 2,000 yards total yards from scrimmage as a rookie. And he should be entering his prime now. That was behind a bad Giants offensive line. Now, the Giants' offensive line, still not anything to write home about, but now they've played together another season. They have used draft capital on improving the line and free agent money on improving the line to where this season it should be better than at any point in recent memory, even if that only makes it low average. That's a big improvement for them. Kadarius Toney is a weapon. I just mentioned Saquon freaking Barkley, right? Look at the receivers. They bring in Galladay. Slayton's good and getting better. Never mind Shepard and Ingram as a tight end is a real weapon. They have weapons on offense and improving offensive line. And look at the quarterback, Daniel Jones. He actually was really good on deep throws last year. He had a bum leg, right? So on one wheel, he's not the same threat because he's a real running threat. He should be healthy this year. Year three is when we should see behind a real offensive line and Saquon Barkley there, his improvement. Defensively, they're already solid and should get better. In a weak division, I think they're the best balanced team. I don't believe in Fitzpatrick over the course of an entire season. I don't believe in the Cowboys defense, but I believe in Big Blue. Go Big Blue!
Well, look, I'm going to say this. I ended my relationship with the Dallas Cowboys about 2 years ago. But I'm not going to sit up here and be biased because I'm a Cardinals fan now. I'm going to give props when props due, okay? The Cowboys has the best team in the NFC East, period, point blank. You know why? Because their offense is so potent. Their defense, defensively, they'll figure things out, booger. But look, offensively, you have Dak Prescott, who is going to be the best quarterback in this division. You have Ezekiel Elliott, who possibly could be the best running back. We know how good he could be. He's going to come back on a mission. And let's not talk about the receiving core, right? The receiving core that they have to run and put up a lot of points, stretch the field, the deep threats, the slant routes. I could go on, but I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not about to dive in deep with you and Max because, Max, I don't even know how you could even stomach to say the word New York after you done turned your back on New York, the state of New York, so many times that you even picked the New York Giants.
Yankees, Giants, Nets. What are you talking about?
No, Lakers.
Well, it will right now. Who's left in the playoffs?
Perk, I love what you said. Perk, you almost convinced me. But the fact of the matter is the Cowboys were 1-3 with that great offense before Dak Prescott got hurt. So that defense still has to show me something. And Max, you sound like a used car salesman trying to convince a buyer on Daniel Jones. Like you're really trying to convince me that Daniel Jones is going to be great to drive off the lot. And you know what? He'll be better. It's year three. The tires have broken in. The engine is ready to go. It's all of a sudden going to be better. Max, Don't do that, Max. Seriously. Like, you don't have to convince me. I just need to see it on the field. Like,
I think he's better than Fitzpatrick right now. I believe he's better than Fitzpatrick right now. He's never going to be Dak Prescott, but he's better than Fitzpatrick right now.
All right, Max, your lips to God's ears. I'm with you.
Come on, Daniel Jones. Danny Dimes, come on.
All right, guys, we'll leave it there.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
When Yankees Gerrit Cole was asked whether he has ever used a particular sticky paste called Spider Tack while on the mound amid MLB's crackdown on pitcher-friendly foreign substances, here's what he had to say.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, you know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
So sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you don't say. And he clearly didn't say no there, but I'm looking forward to this conversation. I find it interesting, and we have two champions with us. Max, I'm going to start with you here. Is cheating just a part of sports?
It is, because you're talking about very competitive people where every little advantage makes a difference. It's cheating is prevalent, you know, throughout our culture, at the top of any kind of industry, among very competitive people. To me, the issue is not simply cheating. You broke the rules, and therefore all cheaters are the same. Although philosophically, you might feel that way, and you're standing on solid ground if you do feel that way. But to me, in sports, there's a difference between cheating, where we judge the efficacy of that cheating, how effective that cheating makes you. Like, does it really work, and how much does it work? Versus cheating that kind of everyone's looking to get an edge. If you use a little extra pine tar on your bat in baseball or something along those lines, sign stealing with your eyes, people are like, all right, that's part of the game. If you use cameras in your home stadium, where technologically you have this advantage only you have, no one else can replicate in that game, and there's no way to combat the cheating on the other side. There's nothing you can do to hide your signs if they're recording everything. That's different. It's different if someone corks their bat in baseball. Babe Ruth was the first guy accused of doing that. Because people believe if it does help, maybe it helps a little. We don't know. And juicing, where, you know, like, you can look at players like McGuire and Sosa and look at their numbers. Those are Hall of Fame numbers. They would have never had them all by themselves. Turn them fundamentally into different players. So I think, yes, cheating is accepted in sports. The question is, is there something you can do, the other side can do about it? And does it turn the cheater into something they're fundamentally not?
You know, I think there are levels to this. And if we want to look at everything by the letter of the law, yes, cheating is cheating. But I always use this because I'm a fast driver. Okay, I like to put my lead foot down. And if the speed limit is, you know, 55, I'm going to go probably 65. Am I breaking the law? Yeah, but right. Am I really going to get caught and get thrown in jail for going 10 miles per hour over? Probably not. So there are levels to this. And when it comes to quote-unquote cheating and this sticky substance, or if an offensive lineman is grabbing on the interior and he's holding, you know, you often hear you could call holding every play, and that's true. So from that standpoint, cheating or getting a competitive advantage or the unwritten rules of sports, that's always been a part of sports, and that's not going to change. When we use a negative connotation like the word cheating, then we frown upon it and we look at it in a certain way. Just like we looked at the New England Patriots when it came to Deflategate or stealing signs. That happens in sports all the time. It's like you're supposed to do any and everything you can to get a competitive advantage, because the name of the game is winning. So if we want to use the word cheating, is that a part of sports? Sure. Cheating has always been a part of sports. Doing the little things is never going to change. And if MLB wants to change that, then what they're really saying is, we want to change some of the unwritten rules of sports, because this has been going on for a long time. So you basically want to go and take away some of the little nuances that pitchers and players have used for a long time. But Molly, to directly answer your question, it's a part of sports, because the name of the game has always been winning, and we as athletes will do any and everything to win. Just like when Max goes against Stephen A. on a daily, Max tries to pull up every argument. Max will lie to himself to beat Stephen A. in an argument. So anytime you can do anything you can to That's win, true. That always happens.
That was. Are you under the impression that I've ever lost an argument, not just on this show, but anywhere? Are you actually under that impression, Boog?
Yes, I am. I've watched several, and I've actually won a couple of them.
Deluded. Go ahead, Perk.
You know what? Hey, Boog, you said something real interesting that caught my attention, and it's levels to it, right, like you just said. And when you think about, is cheating part of sports, you got to say yes, right? Because just think about scouting reports, right? Getting inside, having scouts go to gyms and or to arenas and scout people plays, knowing team playbooks. Is that cheating? Probably so, right? I mean, if you know opponent plays or playbook, that is some type of form of cheating. So, yes, cheating is in sports. I look at the game of basketball today, right? It's a lot of acting going on. It's a lot of flopping. To me, that's cheating, because you're selling to the referees to make a call when you know that you're flopping. By the way, the NBA just went away with the rules and fines of flopping, because it's getting ridiculous. It's getting back out of hand, some of the people that are flopping in today's game, and it's cheating the game of basketball. So I'm with you on this one, Booger. It's certain scenarios that, I mean, it's just cheating is part of sports. I mean, scouting reports. Me going to going into playoff series, and by the time you get to game three, Every team know each other's plays and personnels and tendencies. I mean, that's a form of cheating.
I like, Boog, your speeding metaphor, right? So if you're going 62 and a 55, if you see the cop and you keep doing 62, maybe he pulls you over. You're not going to cheat, so to speak, right in front of him. But if they're hiding and they catch you going 62 and a 55 and they pull you over, you could legit say to the cop, like, really, 62 and a 55? And he might say, yeah, you know, like, in other words, like, yeah, you're getting the business today. And a lot of cheating, the way clubs do it, in every sport, is 62 and a 55. It's culturally accepted that way. We're going to push it a little bit. And some of it's going 120 in a 55, 110, 120 in a 55. And it's a different kind of penalty. It's like, no, that is extreme. Shaq even talked about during Deflategate, that, hey, I used to deflate the basketballs. Hold on, Shaq, really? Yeah, because I didn't have a big hand like Michael Jordan. I wanted to be able to, right, that's why one of the reasons you weren't as good as Michael Jordan, right? You know, he didn't get to be 7 feet, nothing he could do about that, but you wanted an advantage, so you deflated the ball. But in the culture of the NBA, that kind of flew under the radar. He felt comfortable enough saying it. There's a guy, Gaylord Perry, who's in the Hall of Fame in baseball, whose autobiography was titled the spitter and me, I think it was. In other words, he threw a spitball and, like, got to the Hall of Fame, and everyone just kind of accepted it. That was very different than human growth hormone and steroids, where guys who wouldn't have even made the majors look like they were Hall of Famers. So the question is not just, is cheating philosophically in sports, but it's the degree of the cheating. How far are you willing to push it? I think Gerrit Cole feels comfortable saying, yes, I cheat within the culture of my sport, within accepted norms. I'm going 62 and a 55. And people have looked at what the Patriots have done, what the Astros have done, and said, no, you're doing 100 in a 55. There's a penalty for that.
But here's the problem. Like, you have those people that literally look at it and say, well, if you're going 62 and a 55, you broke the law. And that breaking the law right there is the same as somebody going out and shoplifting. That's the same as somebody going out and committing manslaughter, because you have people that are so literal, they don't look at this thing in levels. They just look at it and say it's breaking the law, especially when it comes to sports. Sports has always been talked about. Like, we give awards for sportsmanship, for playing the game the right way and doing the right thing. But what these leagues want, think about this now. The NFL has changed the rules so we can get more offense, so we can become more entertaining. The only reason this is coming up in Major League Baseball is because, guess what? The pitchers have too much control. We want to see more runs. We want to see less strikeouts. So we want more entertainment. So we will deal with cheating as long as it's advantageous to the product. We will deal with cheating as long as it's good for the bigger or the greater goal. I think the bigger issue right now is these organizations, NFL, MLB, NBA, whatever it is, you have to make up your mind and then sell it to your fan base. Here's what we're willing to deal with it. Because when you start opening Pandora's box and say, hey, we're going to talk about the sticky substance in baseball, or we're going to talk about the lack of air in a basketball, or the lack of air in a football, I think we're going too far. And when you start trying to legislate by the letter of the law, literally, I think that is a slippery slope to go down.
Mm-hmm. Well, Boog, I just want to end on this. Molly,
yeah,
I just
want to
end on this. Because finally, we're over 90 minutes in the show, and Max finally said something that made sense. I'm just happy for him. Finally. Congratulations, Max.
I didn't know what I was clapping for, Max. That was very disrespectful. I would have if I knew.
You coming on the radio show today, Perk? Or do I have you back on the show? That's what I want to know. We have unfinished business.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Julio Jones is a Tennessee Titan, and Kendrick Perkins feeling some type of way about it. Perk is talking NFL today in his segment, Always Must See. Carry on. Perk, what you got?
Absolutely, Molly. And all I've been hearing about is the Bucks and the Chiefs and the rematch. And I know Ryan Clark's somewhere watching along with Big Swag Goo and Big Damian Woody. But I don't give a damn, because this is my segment. I have the Tennessee Titans winning the Super Bowl. You know why? Because they have a three-headed monster in A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and a Pro Bowler quarterback in Tannehill. Tell me who's going to stop this offense. They're going to average 50 on people a game. Would you go load up 8 in the box and go man-to-man? You got to put 8 in the box to stop the best running back in the game. I'm going with the Tennessee Titans to win the Super Bowl this year. Carry the hell on.
I'm trying to see if you're serious here. Hold on a second. So
The Kansas City Chiefs, who, in case you haven't noticed, every year represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Every year, the Kansas City Chiefs represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. The Patriots got them one time from a pre-snap penalty when Mahomes never got the ball back. So, and by the way, the Chiefs revamped their offensive line. They brought in the best available left tackle, the best available guard when the offensive line fell apart in the Super Bowl this last year. But forget about the Chiefs for a second. Over the Browns? The Browns had the best offensive line, run blocking and pass protecting last year. They added to their defense. They brought in a name brand guy in Jadeveon Clowney, but they get back Greedy Williams and all their guys. They have Myles Garrett. I mean, everywhere you look, Denzel Ward, there's a stud. And they're getting back Odell Beckham Jr. Like, Julio Jones is great and everything, maybe a little past it. Odell is younger, and I think at his best, even better. And they're getting him back. That's an addition. I love Derrick Henry. Is he better than Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, especially considering the line is better? And none of that speaks to the fact that the Tennessee Titans had the 28th-ranked defense last year.
Hey, Max. First of all, yes, Derrick Henry is better than Chubbs, right? And they have the numbers to back it up. Over the last 2.5, 3 years, guess what? He's been number one in every statistical category. This is a guy that rushed for, what, 2,000 yards last season?
Does he play defense?
He can't be stopped. And then when you talk about, can I finish? Because you just went on talking about what you wanted to talk about.
Carry on.
I'm talking about what the numbers I have, okay? And then when you talk about A.J. Brown, right? Guess what? When 50 yards or more, far as the deep ball, guess who ranked number one in the league far as receivers? A.J. Brown. And then you put Julio on the side of him, and then you telling me right now someone could actually stop this offense? Look, the defense is going to get better. They have a defensive-minded coach. They're going to get better. It's not hard to get the defense better. But guess what? If the Tennessee Titans have the possession, have the ball in their possession majority of the game, they don't really have to worry about defense if they're controlling the clock.
Well, the one thing that you failed to mention is Tannehill's nice. That's who's throwing his receivers the ball. Who's throwing Tyreek Hill and Travis?
He's a Pro Bowler.
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get to the NFC where you have the Bucs and the Packers.
Right, I'll wrap it up by saying this. The Titans have the 7th best odds to win the AFC. But, Perk, you know what I like about it? It's a bold take. You went out on a limb, and you're sticking to it, and we need more of that. So I appreciate that, not just going all chalk. We'll keep it moving.
You've got
here,
a Memphis-Atlanta finals in the NBA. What are you talking about, Molly?
On Tuesday, Nuggets big Nikola Jokic became the 6th international player to win. Oh, we're not going to go there yet. We're going to talk about the Nets here. So according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, the Nets' title chances shrink to just 9% without a healthy James Harden. Brooklyn's Big 3 has a net rating of 22 this postseason, but that cuts into nearly half when Harden leaves the court. So, Pork, Nets' Big 3 versus his 2017-2018 Warriors. Who you got?
I got the Warriors. I mean, look, this is every coach's dream to watch the way that Golden State Warriors team played basketball, the way that they move without the basketball, the way that they didn't just have to dribble the clock out to get a shot off, the way that they did pick-to-pick actions. Look, Klay Thompson, right, has 60 points in 29 minutes on 11 dribbles. All right, that's unheard of. That means that it is beautiful basketball, player movement, ball movement, Steph Curry pulling up. He could play off the ball along with Kevin Durant. Let's not forget how beautiful it was to watch that Golden State Warriors team play the game of basketball, because now we're watching some guys that like to go isolation and give you all the fancy crossover moves and everything else. These guys were playing phenomenal basketball that every middle school, high school, AAU team will want to show their players on how to play the correct way.
The answer is the Nets. And let me break it down like this. First of all, the James Harden Rockets came within a few possessions of beating that Warriors team with just James Harden on the worst shooting night in the history of basketball. That was a single-digit loss to those Warriors. You know why? Because the Rockets had James Harden playing D'Antoni's system. And that's what these Nets have when Harden's healthy. Now, KD is KD, right? So then if you want to say Harden and Steph cancel, give or take, whether you like Steph or Harden, they're both perennial MVP candidates. Then it comes down to Kyrie and Klay. Klay's a better two-way player. Klay's a great defender and one of the greatest shooters ever. Kyrie's a 50-40-90 guy this year. And generally shoots about 40% from three and takes a lot of them. And the bottom line is the reason Klay doesn't dribble, it's great that he doesn't, the ball moves and everything, but that's because ideally you'd want Klay as the opponent putting the ball on the floor and making decisions with it. Not that he can't, just not why he's there. Kyrie got handles and skills, no knock against Klay, that Klay doesn't have offensively. So it comes down to Kyrie or Klay. I'm taking Kyrie. KD cancels with KD, and if you make me choose between Harden and Steph, I'm taking Harden. It's the Nets.
You're taking who?
James.
Did you just
Harden.
Say you're taking Harden over? You?
Yeah.
Oh, you're taking James Harden over Steph Curry when I could have sworn just last year you, Max Kellerman, was on here with me and Big Marcus Spears and Swaggoo, and we brought up this topic. Who would you take, Steph Curry or James Harden? And me and Swaggoo was on here begging. We were pleading. We were arguing. We were debating with you that we were taking James Harden. And now you come back today and you say, I'm taking James Harden.
Know why, Kendrick Perkins? Know why? Because this season on this Nets team, I saw Harden take his game to yet another level. When he didn't have to
you didn't
be the
see
guy
Steph do it?
Scoring 50 points a night. No, I saw Steph play like that in the past, including 0 points in 330 of the last 330 of overtime with the season on the line. I've seen Steph do that before, too. But what I saw from James Harden is when he could just conduct the offense as a real point guard and not worry about scoring every point in the world, they were unbeatable. Unbeatable.
Max, you know what's crazy is that every time you switch up, you move the goalposts to fit your narrative. Because for a long time, you were sitting up here arguing with me, whether it was arguing about Steph and James Harden or James Harden and Luka. You were saying that you was taking Luka over Harden because you kept saying that Harden, when it mattered the most, he came up
guilty.
Short. And I had
guilty.
To pull up film.
Guilty. No, guilty
so
he has.
I just
Harden
don't get
has
it.
Choked when it matters
I just
most.
Don't get it.
So has
okay.
Steph.
So Max, Harden hasn't even given us an opportunity to see him on a big stage yet.
That's fair.
Because he haven't even made it there.
That's
he
fair.
Haven't
By
even
the way,
made it there.
Just like when I took Kawhi and took Giannis and I was wrong both times, part of this is predictive. I'm basing this on a trend and what I expect from Harden. He could prove me wrong still. That's right. Part of it is I'm trying. It's calculus. You're trying to trace the trajectory and the rate of it and what's changing before our very eyes. That's what I see from Harden. But Steph, when last seen, season on the line, win or go home, 0 points in the last 330 of overtime. I've seen that before from him, too.
I mean, did you watch Steph Curry this season?
Yeah.
I mean, did you happen to turn on your television and watch the Golden State Warriors and watch the show, the clinic that Steph Curry put on, the way he was tearing the league up? The man went for 60.
Yeah. Who was the best player in the league when they were healthy this
times.
Year? Who was the best player in the league when they were healthy this year? Who? Just I'm curious.
It was
who
Jokic.
Was better than Harden at Harden's best Jokic. This year?
It was Jokic.
Right.
Was better than Harden
yes,
at Harden's best
you.
Game for
he
game
said
this
Jokic.
Year?
Jokic. All right, he answered you. Let's keep going. Because we had a beef earlier. I couldn't ask the questions I wanted to. Folks weren't here. But now I got Perk in the Flesh. Migos' new album, Culture 3, drops Friday. Quavo took to Twitter to promote the release, Perk. Then responded, thank God you're back with the Migos because this Photoshop uppercut is as close as you'll ever get to a hit as a solo artist. Carry on. Perk, what's good?
What's up, Molly? Hey, look, Molly.
What's
look,
happening? Break it all down for me. I need all the dirt. Spill all the tea. What's happening here?
Well, it's no tea to spill, okay? He started with me. That's the beef, okay? Quavo called himself putting me in one of his songs 2 years ago when he tried to go single and he figured out that didn't work. He put me in one of his songs and he dropped the bar talking about getting no playing time, Kendrick Perkins, right? So I got to listen to my kids run around the house and he and ha ha about it, okay? So I waited. I didn't respond. I didn't say a word, but I waited for the perfect time. And when he came out before the Floyd Mayweather fight against Logan Paul, and he came out there and he was dropping those weak bars, I couldn't wait. And I shot something out there on Twitter. And then he came with this, I don't know what it was, with the uppercut pitching, and then I retaliated back. Look, one thing Quavo got to know about me, I don't care who you are, okay? I got 4 kids and a wife at home. 3 of them kids are boys, okay? And they look up to me as a man, so I'm not going to let no man tell me nothing, and I'm not going to put up a fight back. I'm going to speak my piece. I don't care if you Barack Obama. I don't care who you are. If you say something to Big Perk, I'm coming back at you.
But why you in the lyric? Do you even know why in the first place? Is it just random, or you guys know each other?
No, I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know him from a can of paint. But the thing is that one day he gonna learn to keep Perk name out of his mouth. I ain't the one, cause
I'll tell you what,
either we gonna talk it out, we gonna talk it out, or I'ma pull up and you gonna smell my cologne. You can pick your poison.
Both got some fire sports takes, I'll tell you that.
Well, guess what? Quavo is going to be here on the show tomorrow. Perk, you're invited back if you want to be as well, but Quavo will be here. Perk, you crushed it today. Thank you, sir.
Bring me on. Bring me on.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.